Dr. James Dobson tells of a mother whose little girl wanted to treat her right on Mother's Day, and the mother was not feeling well. She was sick, and the little girl went downstairs. She fixed some things, and she came up, and she brought her mother a cup of hot tea, and her mother said, "Thank you, honey. I didn't know you knew how to do tea," and she said, "Well, I do. I've watched you. I got the water out and boiled the water and the tea leaves and put them in, and then I got the cup, and then I started to strain them. I put the fly swatter underneath, and I strained it through." Her mother said, "You did what?" She said, "Don't worry. It wasn't the new fly swatter. It was the old one." Today, I want to share with you scripture using what for us seems to be one of the, if not the most, the closest bond between two people, mother for child or children. Scripture uses that to help us catch a better glimpse of who God is and the love that he has for us. And so I read to you from Isaiah chapter 49, beginning with verse 13. Reading through 16. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Here ends the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, speak to us today clearly. Open our eyes to see your astounding, amazing, incredible love for us and for the whole world. Amen. Frederick Douglass was an African-American slave, later escaped, became social reformer, abolitionist, and a political statesman. In his life, things took place that impacted him. In the culture of the time, the slave culture, it was a common practice, or not unusual, for a master to separate a mother and the infant shortly after birth, to separate them completely. I mean, sending one in one place and one the other. Seeking to break that bond that was so strong. Frederick Douglass's mother, she gave birth to him, and after she gave birth, he was taken, and then she was put to work in the fields. The babies that would be taken away would be taken elsewhere, and they would be given to mothers or women who were too old to work in the fields any longer. And the child, it was rare for it to be, it was not unusual for it to be, it was common to be 12 months or younger when this separation took place. Sometimes it did break that connection, that relationship, but not in Harriet Bailey's. That was Frederick Douglass's mother, Harriet Bailey. She would work in the field all day, and then the slaves would go in for the evening. Later, she would slip out. She did it as often as she could. She would slip out, and she would walk 12 miles to where her child, Frederick Douglass, was. And there she would just lie down by him, just look at him, spend time with him. And after as long as she could take, she would get up and walk the 12 miles back. But to get there in time before the rest went out, she would get there before sunup and then follow everybody else back out in the fields. Just a deep and abiding love. And she did that until she died, as much as she could. And that would have been 7 years from Frederick Douglass's birth until he was about 7 years old. That imagery captures for us just incredibly deep love and commitment, as well it should. We see in her this amazing display of a deep, deep love of a mother for her child. The scripture speaks about this often, about God's love for his children being oftentimes connected with a mother's love for her child. Now, unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and we live in situations where sometimes children are abandoned or children are abused, and which was never part of God's original intent, but the presence and the reality of sin in the world. But this passage is talking about life in general. There are the exceptions, but it talks about life in general. And the Lord is speaking to the people of Israel, and he says, I will bring you back out of exile. They are in exile in Babylon. He said, I will bring you back. Now, the people's response is found there in verse 14. But Zion, and Zion is Israel or the people, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. That's their response, and that's an appropriate or at least an understandable response in the midst of 70 years of exile. They were demoralized. They were depressed. They were disheartened. And that happens at times. Do you know the feeling when we get confused and we get doubtful? And sometimes it can be so bad that we doubt the existence of God. Or if we don't doubt the existence of God, we doubt that God cares or that God listens or that we even matter to God. That's what they were feeling. We are forgotten by God. We have been abandoned by God. And now comes the word. The word was, I will bring you back. They doubt that, and they say, the Lord has forgotten us. The Lord has abandoned us. And now the word of the Lord comes back to them, and it picks up and gives one of the most moving, most tender images in all of Scripture of God's love for his people. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? He asked a rhetorical question, a question of Israel for them to think about. Typically speaking, a mother's nursing the child, and that nursing mother's looking down at the child, and she notices every feature of the child, whether there's hair or not, and the color of the hair, and the shape of the face, and the slant of the eyes, and the texture of the skin, and the little hands and fingers, everything. And so he says to them, can a mother forget the child nursing at her breast? And can a mother have no compassion, just doesn't care about a child that she's carried to term and just given birth to? Now, the people would have responded with a resounding no. No, mothers don't forget their children that they're nursing, and mothers don't not have compassion on that child or children that they've carried to term. But then Isaiah takes it further. He takes it a step further and he says, this bond that you think is so close, and it is, the bond between a mother and her child, it would be, we would think that a mother could never not love or have compassion for her child. But let me tell you, Israel, that has a greater chance of happening than me forgetting you, than me not caring for you. So he takes the closest bond that humans typically think of and says, that has a better chance of failing than me forgetting you and me not caring about you. In other words, it's never going to happen, Israel. And in thinking about that, the whole thing there, even though she may forget, even if a mother could forget or would forget, I will never forget you. It'll never happen, Israel. The message could not be clearer. God's love for his people far exceeds the love of a mother for her child, or a father for his child, or a wife for her husband, or a husband for wife, or a brother with sister, sister for brother. God's love exceeds any of the other loves that there are, no matter how close, no matter how deep. God's love exceeds that. That's the amazing word that he's giving. But then he goes on and adds something else. He doesn't stop there with God's love being greater than a mother's love for her child. He goes on and says, see, I have engraved you or engraved your name in the palm of my hand. Remember the setting. They're in Babylon. They're among the pagan believers. The idol worshipers in Babylon, Dr. David McKenna tells us, the idol worshipers, when they went to worship in their place of worship, they would inscribe or etch or engrave the name of their God on their hand as they went to express their love and their devotion and their worship of that God. But did you hear what Isaiah said? The Lord said, not you will engrave me on the palm of your hand and come in and worship me. I will engrave your name on the palm of my hand. That's unheard of. Deity, God of all creation, not saying to his people, you all come up here to me. No, he's saying, I will come down to you. I'll come down to your level. And it's not about you having my name and coming into worship. It's about me having your name engraved on the palm of my hand. It's an expression of deep and abiding love. It's like us carrying in our wallets pictures of family, children, husband or wives or grandparents. It's like carrying those pictures around and we take them out and we look at them and it reminds us. And God was saying that same kind of thing, just much stronger. I have your name etched in the palm of my hand. I had a friend. Sometimes we just don't think of God with this kind of deep love for us. But I have a pastor friend one time, I heard him say, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. And I think that that expresses or moves us in the direction of this love that God has for us. And here they're thinking, God doesn't care. God has forgotten. And God is saying, my love for you is greater than a love of mother for child, and I'm gonna bring you back into your land, and I have your name etched on the palm of my hand. Another thing Dr. John Oswalt says is that slaves would have the name of the master. It would be put on their hands. Did you hear here? I will engrave you. Here's the master. The master's having the servants name engraved in his hand. Again, it's unthinkable. Gods should be great powers and shouldn't fiddle with things of people on earth. And here is God saying, my love for you is greater than a mother for her child, and I have you engraved on the palm of my hand. I have your name. I know you. I think about you. I love you. I am with you day in and day out. And that was what he wanted to communicate. God's love exceeds that of a parent for a child, and God's love is shown by engraving our names on the palm of his hand. Now, lest we think this is just symbolic imagery, God will even do greater than this, because God, as I said, is not saying, come up to me. God descends down to human beings, and he becomes a human being. He becomes a baby. And that baby goes through everything that we go through. And all of the experiences and everything. But when that baby grows up into a man, he begins to teach and he begins to preach and he begins to heal people. And he begins to make the religious leaders very unsettled, very nervous. And ultimately, it's so dangerous to them, they feel like that they have him turned over to the Roman authorities. And now, instead of this God having names etched in the palm of his hand, he's willing, and his love for you and me is so great that he's willing to take Roman spikes. He's willing to allow Roman spikes to enter. And later, those will be scars that the disciples will use to identify that it's Jesus. He'll say, see the scars, see my hands, see my side. That's the length to which God is willing to go to let you know and me know, I love you more than you can ever imagine. I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I understand or can recognize their discouragement, because we experience that at times. There are those times when we're so frustrated, we're so aggravated, we're so confused, we have fear and doubt and discouragement and utter despair, to sometimes we even think, well, I don't even know if God exists. Or if we're not willing to go that far, we might say, well, I believe God exists, but he doesn't care. He's not listening. When those times come, when we think he doesn't care, come back to Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 15 and 16, and you will be reminded, as I am reminded, that God continues to love. Regardless of the surrounding circumstances, regardless of the difficulties, he is there with us in the midst of them and will bring us through them. It doesn't mean that it'll be easy, and it doesn't mean that there's not suffering, and it doesn't mean that there's not even the presence of pain or grief. But what it does mean is that doesn't have the final word. Pain, suffering, sorrow, grief, and death, they do not have the final word. God does. And he's shown that supremely in his son Jesus. Have you received that love that God has for you? There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to work for it. The only way you can receive it is by faith and just simply saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. It's done by faith. And there will never be anything that compares to this. You will never find a greater love and a love that is so transformative. You'll never find one that is as transformative as this is. So when those dark times come, and they will come, remember, whomever I love the most, whomever, whether it's mother or child or father or brother or sister or grandparent, whomever I love the most, God loves me more than that. And God loves them more than that. It is an astounding thought. It's a comforting thought because it says to me that God will bring to completion his plan of restoring all of creation to the way he intended, not the way sin did it, but the way he intended or that sin caused. And we have that offer today. Greater than a mother's love. There's a love that's greater than that. There's a love that's greater than a father's love. There's a love that's greater than a husband, a wife, brother, sister, grandparent, aunt, uncle. There is a love that is greater than any of those, and it's the love that God has for you and for me that he's shown through his son Jesus. Receive that love today. Live by that. Remind yourself of that daily. And remember this so then that you can tell somebody else, because I promise you, you're going to come up against friends or neighbors or somebody that's at the end of their rope or just thinks there is no God or God doesn't care or God doesn't give a flip. But here we see differently. And you have the opportunity to share that. Let me show you something here in Isaiah. Do you think a mother could forget if she's nursing a child or even if she's feeding a child a bottle? Well, no, that's not possible. Well, God says his love for you and me is greater than that. And he also says he's got your name etched on the palm of his hand. He knows you inside and out. Would you pray with me? Gracious, loving and holy God, this is amazing, the love that you have for us. On this Mother's Day, where we recognize mothers' love for their families, families' love for their mothers, help us to know that your love for us exceeds all of that. And may we turn to you and allow you to have your rightful place in our lives now and in all the days to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.